Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, October the 14th. It's hard to believe that we're halfway through October already. Where is fall going? Like the main part of what we generally call fall. Where is it going? You don't know where it's going, Becky, do you? It's going by too quick. Because before we know it, we're going to be in that, no, I don't want to say that word. Winter. No, I don't want it. The only part of winter that I truly want is the part between Thanksgiving and, like, the 27th or 28th or so of December. That's good. From Thanksgiving Day to December 27th. Yeah. Now, the music I'll be doing before that. Start listening to a little bit, probably on the 1st. And then I'll celebrate the 1st of November with it being a Sunday by turning on a little bit of Christmas music. And then a little bit more the next weekend, just a little. Won't get ahead of myself too much. Bit more the next weekend, and then after, like, the weekend that deer camp starts, like, starting with, like, the 13th of November is when I'll be doing, like, a lot more listening to Christmas music. And Becky, where are your views on Christmas music? And timing, and what's too early, what's not too early to listen to it. To you, it's just whatever. Yeah, and so in your mind, it's not worth the debate because it's just whatever. And maybe some of the listeners, that might be something that I might ask all y'all. As the time gets closer, as we approach November, or maybe more so like the first week of November, maybe something like November 10th or Veterans Day, maybe. Maybe then I might pop the question. So in about a month. And I tell you, after the kind of year it's been, I'm ready for some good Christmas music. I mean, it's been odd, but in other ways it's been a good year, but I'm just saying, I'm sure a lot of us could use some good, you know, Christmas cheer when we get to that time of the year. And hopefully you go up to your grandma and give her a big hug, a big one, to make up for all the hugs you didn't give her earlier this year. They don't want them, of course. If they don't care, go on up and hug them. Embrace them. I know if we do a big, get to bigger, if we have get-togethers, if we have a together for Thanksgiving or Christmas with our family on my mom's side, I know if we have that, then my grandpa and a bunch of the other ones are going to end up getting hugs from me. Oh, yes. Hopefully with maybe the fireplace turned on or something. Well, at least the heat turned nice and warm. Or maybe it was just naturally heated by the fresh, warm food. Maybe a nice ham, you know, or some turkey. With the mistletoe, of course. Or at Thanksgiving, maybe with the other things. Speaking of the holidays, can you believe what the CDC said, Becky? Here's what they said. They said maybe you should consider doing virtual family gathering. Virtual family gathering? What is that? Listeners, what it is not like you share the recipes virtually and stuff. I'm not doing virtual turkey. And thought, wow, clear my throat for me, listeners. I'm believing for the healing in my throat. We're believing it's going to be made manifest. Amen. But like I was saying, I don't know what we're going to be doing, whether we'll be at my grandpa's or Uncle Jerry's or maybe just me, my mom, and dad. I don't know. We'll have a nice Thanksgiving food, you know, in November. The plan for tonight is we're going to get into the Word of the Lord, and we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss tonight. Tonight we're going to discuss the speaking in tongues and how that's a gift given to us by the Holy Spirit. When we come back Monday, I'm going to talk about being led by the Spirit of God. And as for singing tonight, forgive me, but I am not going to sing tonight for my throat. But what I am going to do right now, listeners, is I want to pray, listeners, for those of us who are believing for a healing in our bodies. And it doesn't matter whether it's something that you're dealing with right this minute, like a sore throat or maybe a fever or a cough or something like that. No, I don't have a fever, but or whether it's something that's more life-threatening, has been happening for a long time. It doesn't matter. God wants to heal us of all sickness and disease. Virus, bacteria, cancer, doesn't matter. Let me give you a couple of healing verses first. 2 Peter 2:24. He was wounded for our transgressions. This is Jesus. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, we were healed. I receive that in my body right now. And I pray you receive that in yours. Those of you who are believing for a healing. And Doesn't matter what it is. It could even be two things. And so, another one. For he took up our sicknesses and bore our infirmities. Another one. He bore our griefs and our sorrows. And with him, you could be healed. And there's many more healing verses. But I'm not just going to hand out all the healing verses that there are, because I want you to be able to go and find them. And so we're going to pray. We're going to pray right now for healing, and we're going to curse the spirit of infirmity. Jesus, I thank you for our bodies. I thank you that you made us to be living beings, living beings. In you, Jesus, in you we live and move and have our being. And everything that has breath praises you, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that all of these who are listening, who are believing for healing in their body, whether it's a cold or a flu thing, or maybe they, in the natural, tested positive for COVID, or maybe they, you know, whatever it could be. Whatever the sickness and disease is, I curse it in the name of Jesus. You spirit of infirmity, you are done in the name of Jesus. You are off from the people of God. You are off. You are done. You don't get to tread on us. Devil, you get your hands off of us in the name of Jesus. Out of our bodies. Off our stuff. For we are your children, Jesus. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love casts out all fear. And I speak to every sickness and disease that's in our bodies. Die. Sickness, die. Jesus, live in us. Pain, go. Disease, go. Infirmity, go. Blindness, leave now. Deafness, go. Bacterial infections, go. Viruses, go. Migraines, go now. Sinus issues, allergy issues, leave now. In the name of Jesus. And just bless, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you just bless our organs. Bless our pancreas. Bless our stomachs, our kidneys, our hearts, our blood pumper, hearts. Bless our feet, our legs, and all the bones that exist within them. Bless our brain, may it think straight. Bless the muscles in our back. Bless our entire muscular system. Bless our everything that regulates our vitals. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our vitals would be normal. And they're all high this, low this, and high this other thing is gone in the name of Jesus. And we are healed and we are whole in your name, Jesus. Amen. Now, listeners, just say this. I feel a healing coming on. Amen. And even if you're fighting something in your body, maybe the second you prayed it, maybe in the natural you don't feel any better, you need to see yourself healed. And that's regardless of whether it's a sore throat, stomach ache, or whether it's something much more severe. Amen. I did that, listeners, because I believe that, like the miracle man, if I want myself to be healed, as you can kind of hear it in my voice, maybe, if you want yourself to be healed, you should pray for others who are believing for healing in their bodies. Amen. Because then it shows, you know, it's not just about yourself. And amen. Amen. Now, let me remind you real quick that this portion of the show brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can swing through the drive-thru of your local McDonald's and grab an any size soft drink for just $1 a piece. All day, every day. Amen. Now, I was amen about McDonald's. I was amen about God. Now, we're going to pray. We're going to go into the Word of the Lord. And we're going to then talk sports. I'm going to abbreviate things just a bit tonight, just to kind of save my voice. Oh, by the way, would you mind getting me a glass of water? Okay. Always nice and cold. Using the sink, of course. I don't like the filtered. You didn't turn on the filter, right? Sorry about that. All right. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for all these listeners who have made the determination to tune in to this broadcast. I thank you that they would receive everything that you have for them, Lord Jesus, tonight, whatever it is that you have. May they have hearts ready to receive, ears ready to understand. Amen. And may you just strengthen them. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, that would faith be imparted to them as we read your holy word tonight. And as we study the speaking of tongues. And I make my confession over this program tonight, listeners. I say that, Lord Jesus, I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, the increases in listenership come, and most of all, Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for a huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. This book is more than a history book to me. It's more than a storybook to me. Tonight, I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Wave that thing, make the devil mad a bit. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Ooh. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. And again, we're dealing with prophecy and tongues. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Follow along if you have it. And it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. We're going to come back to this part here in a bit. I want to make sure you get this. Reading on. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, however, he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues. Unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and I speak in tongues, what good will I be to you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction, even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds such as the flute or the harp? Or, I think you know what other instrument I was going to say, right, Becky? Oh, I hope you guessed it. You figured that, didn't you? Such as the flute or harp. How will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the noises? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, then who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. And federally, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, then I am a foreigner to their speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel that build up the church. For this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what is being said. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you are saying? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you, but in the church, I would rather speak fire, intelligible words, tends to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. I mean, 5 intelligible words than to instruct 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, in the law, law there is capitalized, in the law it is written, these men with strange tongues and those with lips of foreigners, I will speak to these people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Tongues, then, are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So, if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and some who do not understand, or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everyone is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner, and he will be judged by all. And the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and he will worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. If anyone speaks in a tongue, or at the most three should speak. Two or at the most three should speak. One at a time. And someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but instead he's a God of peace. God of peace. As in all the congregations of the saints, women should remain silent in the churches. They're not allowed to speak. They must be in submission. Now you see, this part of it is a little bit different than now. Must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home. Or it is their little home. Did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people that it has reached? If anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritually gifted, let him acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. If he ignores this, he himself will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly manner. Now, talk about this. So obviously, we see here, when we speak in tongues, you know, when you do that, or something like that, or whatever. I was just illustrating what speaking in tongues is. I might not know exactly what I was praying. It's using your prayer language. But God knows. God knows. God knows what you're praying. And I know what it says about, you know, prophecies and that, and how prophecies are very important. But before you prophesy, you got to make sure that it's actually from God. Don't just go around the parking lot of your church or the sanctuary of your church saying, God told me, blah, 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 blah. And you're gonna have, you know, you're gonna have three daughters, two sons, three dogs, a cat, and a mouse. Only if God tells you that. If you're going to prophesy, you got to make sure you are very careful. Very careful. And tongues is a sign to the believers, unbelievers. But prophecy is a sign to the believers. And I remember one time Dr. Barclay was on a news program in another state somewhere, and he was talking, and they were interviewing him, and, you know, and they were asking him, you know, what we now know as the fake news media. They were asking him questions. And this was a lot of years ago. And there were fake news media back then, but not like now. But he told him about the speaking in tongues thing, and then he's like, you want to hear some? And he's like, hey, shake him out. And they're like, huh? It's not much to be spooky. And there are divine gifts of interpretation of tongues. Now about this prophecy. Sometimes Dr. Barclay will prophesy things to us in the service, like as a church family. Example. A few months ago, he said, God said, I'm grabbing hold of the devil by the nape of the neck, and he's going to pay back seven times what he stole from the people of God. And when he prophesies, he is a prophet, a major prophet. I'm going to add, a major prophet. Now, there are major prophets and there's minor prophets. Dr. Barclay is a major prophet. And much of what they do is also in, like, the corporate arena, secular arena, to a degree. Like discussion with government officials, you could say, and other means. And an example of him being used, like in secular arena or government or something, was just this year when our governor was to give the State of the State address, he was there to pray over it. Lee Chatfield invited him, the Michigan State Speaker of the House. And maybe he even prophesied. I don't know what he said about that, but that right there is a big thing that he was able to do. and he's a respected prophet. And he hears from God. And I'm so grateful to have the prophet of God, Mark T. Barclay, in my life. Obviously, I don't worship him. I worship God. But I do highly, 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 highly esteem Dr. Barclay. I really do. He showed my mom what to do. When she didn't know what to do, when she was having me and she didn't know what to do, Dr. Barclay helped her. She was having all these complications with me, all these surgeries and that. Dr. Barclay was there. He helped her. And obviously he was led by God. It wasn't just, and that's beyond just, we had a pastor that cares. Far beyond that. He didn't just care. He didn't just love us. Hear from God. He's a prophet. And I'm grateful to have him in my life as my pastor. And the speaking in tongues thing, for those of you who think, oh, it's just babbling and all that, no, it's not. Not if you know well about it, what it's supposed to mean. And if you're doing it, you have your prayer language, God knows what you're praying. This is why when you pray, should also pray some in your native language, also, and in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you're building up your spirit man. It's like you're working out your spirit man, you're building it up. It's like your spirit man is being taken to the gym when you pray in tongues. It's like it's being taken to Planet, or 24-hour fitness, or Gold's Gym. Or the your local Y or community center, or on a hike, or on a something like that. Because you're building up your spirit man when you pray in tongues. That's why speaking in tongues is. That's a great thing. And I make sure I do it daily. And listeners, sometimes they may be in my mom's once in a while on stay the night, and then we come up here to go to church. And we spend part of the time on the way up here praying. And a good chunk of that, praying in tongues. Believe in God for the service. Exercising our spirit man. And you know, it's prayer language, it's a great thing. It's now, when you first start out doing it, it can kind of sound like baby talk. Even though you're not necessarily saying mama, bed, dada, papa, papa. And obviously, different people have their different styles and how they pray in tongues, But that doesn't mean they're not doing it right. They're just, it's just their way of expressing their self, their spirit, to God. And some of you may wonder, now, nowadays, of course, women are allowed to speak in the church. But there still are reasons why many of the preachers are still men. But it does say, don't just have 50 utterances per service. No. 2 to 3. If you're going to have 2 to 3, that's it. And then God said, we do it decently and in order, one at a time. Not all three at once. You have to do all three. Got to have time to, you know, thank God for it. For you'll be able to thank God for what you received. For the word of knowledge or for the, there were these prophecies, these utterances. You got to thank God for it and say, you know, yes, Jesus, I receive that utterance. I receive that prophecy. I receive it, Jesus. And when he says, makes one like prophecy that involves me, I get really excited. But even if it's not for me, I get excited for those who need it. That certain one, you know. You can't just be jealous and be like, well, prophesied over me. I mean, over this person, but not me. And like I said last night, don't just go around the parking lot of your church being the PP parking lot prophet. And where you think that God told me to go tell Betty and Debbie and Susan that they will la da 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 da. And even if it's a good thing, might not be God. Might not be what God wants for him. And it might not be who God wants. And if it is what God wants for him, it might not be you that he wants to tell him that. So you got to be careful. And if you're going to be a prophesier, you better make sure that the hand of the Lord is upon you when you're doing it. Got to make sure you have the anointing. Got to make sure you have the discernment. You can't just be Wizard of Oz. Who am I going to prophesy to? No. Can't do that. Or it should be more like walking around the church sanctuary, the bookstore. Who's going to prophesy to you? Nope. Got to be led by God. Don't just be led by, like, what you do when you're at that buffet at your Ponderosa or your Golden Corral or your Chinese place and say, you know, this stuff looks good. This stuff looks good. This other stuff, nope. Well, this stuff, yep. How about this stuff? Forget it. Nope. You're going to prophesy. You got to prophesy based on God wants you to do it. Because you don't want to be a false prophesier. We have too many false prophets. Don't need any more. We don't need any more false teachers. We don't need any more faulty teaching. Last year, I was at Dr. Rob Parsley's camp meeting, Dominion camp meeting, Friday night, July 5th of 2019. Forty 40% of the people in that congregation, 5,000-seat auditorium, 40% of those people went up there to either give their life to Jesus or to repent. But then Dr. Parsley said, this is the reason. Sorry about that. We just got disconnected. Oh, don't you love technology sometimes? Mm-hmm. I know it. So, I'm going to restart the story. So, like I said, I was at Pastor Dr. Rod Parsley's Dominion Camp meeting back last year on Friday night, July 5th. Dr. Rod was preaching about hell. And at the end of his message, he gave an altar call. You need to give your life to Jesus, or you need to repent. I haven't been living right. Get down here to this altar now, please. 5,000-seat tabernacle, he calls it Summerall Tabernacle, named after the great Lester Summerall. And 40% of that congregation, 40% of the people in attendance there went up to either recommit or to commit their life to Jesus for the first time. Dr. Parsley said, at the end of that, he said, this is great that we have so much response. You know, it's great to see that we have people realizing we're in the last days, realizing that we need to repent. The problem is that this is a result of all the faulty teaching that we got going on in America and around the world. Faulty teaching that says, I'm saved by grace. There's more than one way to heaven. You can live any way you want. You can drink beer, but it's okay to drink as long as you don't get drunk. And all these user-friendly churches. The one-hour modernizing church service. In by 10, out by 11. Three hymns, three hers. Read the Britannica. Take the offering. 2 points in a poem sermon. Mechanical gift. Memorize shout if you even shout. Powerless worship. No anointing. That doesn't change people's lives. At that point, you're just at a gathering. And the faulty teachings that we have going on in the body of Christ, it's not good. And right now, I've heard this, right now, part of what's going on right now, with the events and the days and what's going on right now, what God is doing right now is he is sifting his people, preparing them for his coming. He is separating the wheat from the weeds. Talked to my uncle, who is a pastor at a church up in the Cadillac area. He said, most of the people have come back. The true believers came back. But the ones who weren't so feeling it, they didn't. What we're in right now is a situation where God is sifting his people. He is separating the wheat from the weeds. And obviously those who have fallen away, we can pray that they come back. And we got to pray for the prodigals to come back. Very important. But there was this verse early on in the chapter that I wanted to make sure you had. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, by men, but by God. Anyone, if you speak in tongues, you do not speak by men, but by God. To God. And no one understands him, but he utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks by men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And if you speak in, and if you're like a, if you speak in tongues, you know, in the pulpit, you're to find yourself. If you speak through prophecy, you're edifying the church. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for all these listeners who made the determination to tune into the broadcast. I thank you, Lord God, that they've learned something, that we will be led by your spirit when it comes to tongues, prophecy. Those of us who, those listening who don't have a prayer language, may they ask you, Lord Jesus, to fill them right now. Pray in the Spirit, please. Lele mana shidre mana machika mahodra vemana padeva demana machika mahodra vemana lana mana namana machidre mana mana proceeda madaba lana mana machidre mana mana padaba demana mana shidre. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we would put this word to practice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, talk about football. For football, on Friday night, you have the Chemics hosting Fort Common Ainsworth. Chemics are 4-0. Fort Common Ainsworth is 1-3. On the Chemics side, just rolling. They continue to do great things on both sides of the ball. Very impressive. I've been very impressed with them. And this is the second year in a row that they had a totally different offensive line compared to the previous year, but still, they're getting it done. 4-0. Look for Al Money to keep doing what he's doing, running for touchdowns, scoring touchdowns. Look for the defense to do what they do best. My prediction? Comic books, 47. Flintstone comma, 6. Should I say Flint Common? 6. Because Common sounds like Common, doesn't it? Friday night, Dow at Mount Pleasant. Dow's 4-0, Mount Pleasant 3-1. And I look at this and I go, this one's interesting. because Mount Pleasant got ran into by a very good Midland game, a very good Midland team, very good. Last year, Midland only beat Mount Pleasant by one. This year, they beat them by 20. Like I said, last year, Midland only beat them by one. This year, they beat them by 20. 20. They were supposed to have one of the best defenses in the state in Division III. Supposed to. Now they won again last week. But now, Dow has to play them. And they were a bit shorthanded last week. And hopefully these players will come back from quarantine on Friday night. And I've decided that for this one, my pick is Pleasant Mountain, 23, Dow Jones Industrial Average, 21. Lions, they play Atlanta on Sunday. Atlanta not doing so good, just like Detroit isn't. And my pick is going to be Lion of the Tribe, 27. Slanted Falcons, 21. Next week, I will have the pleasure of getting to pick Michigan and Michigan State games as well, because they will be starting back up on the 24th. All right. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our immediate loved ones. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease. None of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity. Be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure love you. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.